worships, if you want to stand with me.
Than we deserve. We haven't earned it. We didn't buy it. He just freely gave it. He gave his grace and his mercy and his love to us, and we are thankful for that. Would you just bow your heads this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and dedicate this service unto him. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that every week, Lord, as we're faithful to enter this place, you too are faithful to meet with your people, to come with your sons and your daughters and pour out your spirit upon us. And so, Lord, we thank you today for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the healing you provide, not only physically, but emotionally. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you provide. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what burdens we walk into this room with, Lord, that we can give them to you and walk out without them. And so, Lord, we praise you and we thank you and we welcome you into this service today. May you be honored. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn and greet someone this morning and say, hey, I'm so glad you're here.
Well, good morning. You guys are talkative this morning. All right, be honest. Pastor Phil and I, this morning before Sunday school, we're sitting in the parking lot. How many of you saw the goofy geese on the roof? Anybody see the geese on the roof? I have never seen geese. We have some special geese here. So if nothing else, hopefully you get to see the crazy geese on the roof. In fact, first two of them started right up here at the peak, and then all of a sudden it looked like, I'm pretty sure it was the female that maintained king of the roof there, and the male kind of went over to the other one. So keep an eye out for the crazy geese. But we are glad that you are here this morning. If you are a guest with us, we want to say welcome. We appreciate you coming to worship the Lord with us this morning. And if this is your first time, or maybe your first time in a long time, you can find a little information there. It says welcome on it in the seat there. If you would fill that out, you can drop it in the offering here, or drop it off in the sound booth on the way out this morning if we cut you off and you can't write fast enough. But let's give our guests a hand this morning. Amen. We have hit that time of year where everything is going to go really fast, and we've got a lot going on. So I want to encourage you to read your bulletin, but do want to let you know, Senior Sunday, it seems like that's a long ways off. We'll be on May 21st, but we're going to blink and it's going to be here. So if you are a senior in high school, or you are the parent of a senior, we're actually doing the interviews for the voiceover next Sunday. So that is on top of us right now. So we want to make sure if you are a senior and you let your parents know and get with Pastor Phil, and he will give you the information. It's not a real hard interview, but just if you've been a part of it, we want to have you involved in that. So see Pastor Phil, that will be next Sunday. Also, next Sunday, if you have helped out in bringing parts, things for the goodie bags as we bless the EMS workers and the police officers and teachers, that was supposed to be in today, but we will actually be assembling those next week. So see Miss Kelly, I believe we're shooting for 2 o'clock. And so that will be here at the church to put those together for the goodie bags. So if you want to be a part of that, let Miss Kelly know, and also plan to be here at 2 o'clock. Go get you some lunch and then come back and you can put those things together. Also, coming up is our youth garage sale. So it is time to spring clean and give us all that good stuff that we can sell for missions. Our youth group's going to New York, and that is our major fundraiser. So you can start bringing those and dropping it off at the Zone Room, and we will help you get rid of all the goodies that you want to get rid of. And it will go to help our young people go on their mission trip. So that will be May 5th and 6th. So anytime in the next couple weeks, you can bring that in, and we will certainly appreciate that. And then one last announcement, want to encourage you, if you are a man, we will be here in 2 weeks, be going to see the movie about Big George Foreman. So if you mark that on your calendars, it's in the bulletin there, get a little more information. There is a sign up in the foyer if you let us know that you're planning to come. We can prepare for that and have a good time of fellowship. Have you guys been enjoying the ladies and the men's outings? Yeah, yeah. Amen, amen, amen. It's good to be family, and it's good to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. All right, at this time, we're going to ask our ushers to come, and we're going to receive this morning tithes and offering. Amen. Benjamin let me know I was off the hook this morning, so I was going to tell him he had to pray over the offering, but I won't do that to you. So bow your heads, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for the opportunity to give what you have blessed us with, God. Lord, we want to honor you with our first fruits this morning, and God, we just ask you, and we know that you will reach those that need to know you because of this giving this morning. We do so cheerfully, and we just give you all the honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we just praise you today. We just praise you. We thank you, Lord. We just praise you. I don't want to rush. I want to have you sing that again in just a second. Worship team's going to sing that again, and I want to encourage you to sing out with all your heart. But also, we want to take just a few moments. I don't know about you, but I feel like in these recent days, we've had so many people with prayer needs. Needs maybe for themselves, for healing, or in their family. Needs for people who have lost things in the recent tornado, to just people who just need a miracle. And there's no better place to meet Jesus and to pray together than right here at church. There's no better place to meet him than right here at the altar. And there's no better way to do it than to pray together. Where the Lord says, where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is also. So guess what? He's already here. He's already here. I think sometimes we come into services and we've entered into the house of the Lord, but we just blaze by him. We forget to meet with him. It's like we visited his house, but we didn't really take a moment to have a conversation with him. And so today, maybe you're in this place and you need to have a conversation. You need somebody to meet with you and just pray with you and agree with you. I'm going to ask Jeremy if he'd come down and help me today. And I'm going to ask my wife, Kelly, if she'd come in case there's some ladies that might need prayer today. And I'm going to be down here. And today, as the worship team sings, if you don't have a need, that's fine. Just praise the Lord with all your heart. But if you have a need today, today is the day just to meet and present that need to the Lord. We want to agree with you in prayer. And we want and we believe that God can meet your need today. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God is still in the miracle working business? He's still in the business of meeting needs. Amen? Amen? So worship team, would you sing that again? Let's take a few moments. Let's not rush this. Let's do it. So good. And I'm believing right now that in just these last few minutes, the Lord's began to minister and began to move forward in some people's lives as they begin to allow him to. As I said to some other people down here a little while ago, sometimes we're like the disciples on the boat. We're running around. There's a storm happening. We're trying to figure out how not to get the boat to break apart. We're trying to figure out how to get it to stop. We're trying to figure out what are we going to do when it throws us overboard. And eventually, the disciples, they wake up Jesus. I think they thought Jesus was going to freak out. Jesus got up and just spoke to the storm, right? Some of us just need to say, hey, Jesus, I need you to speak to the storm that's in my life. I need you to take control and speak, because just that quick, the Lord can change everything. I'm believing that for some people on our prayer list this morning. Melissa Gabbard, still recovering from pneumonia. She was in the hospital. She's at home now. We're just praying for you, Melissa, that God would touch every need in your body. I want to pray for Danny Looney. Danny and his wife come to church here and are part of our church family. And we found out, Pastor texted me just this morning, that their entire home was destroyed by this tornado. They lost their home, and they need God to intervene in that situation. And so we're praying for Danny and his wife. We're praying for my mom as she continues to go through chemo and just continued healing in her body. Ansel Munden was in the hospital. I think he's back home now, and we're just back in Grace Living Center, and want to pray for strength in his body. And Debbie Rowland went and saw her this week. And let me just say something. I don't know if Debbie's watching today, but how many of you ever go to visit someone and you're encouraged, right? I went and visited Debbie, and you can tell she's been spending time with the Lord. The peace of the Lord is upon Debbie, and she's believing in faith for the healing touch of the Lord, and she is in such great spirits, but she appreciates your prayers, and so we continue to pray for Debbie. Pray for Robert Smith. He's here today, man. He pulled up this morning, and the biggest smile came across my face. Love you, Mr. Robert, and glad he's here. Just praying for strength for him, and so if you've got a need this morning, would you just lift your hand? Amen. Amen. The Lord already knows your need. Already knows you. Just leave your hand up. Let's leave our hand up and surrender to the Lord. Lord, we raise our hands. I raise mine in acknowledgement of all the needs we've listed. And Lord, we have people across this sanctuary that have raised their hands, Lord, to you in surrender and in dedication and in faith to you, God, that you'll meet every need. Lord, you bring healing to those who are sick. You bring freedom to those who are captive. Lord, you bring joy to those that are in sorrow. Lord, you bring, Lord, a freedom to know that the storm is not our problem if we surrender it to the one who is greater than the storm. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that's going to happen in this service for the rest of the time. Lord, we pray you would open our hearts as we open the word. And Lord, may you pour your truth into us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. How many of you love the worship team? Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. I got to be honest with you. I always love our worship team, but today I was just really just I was loving it because of the diversification of the ages on the stage today. I think it's a great representation of our church. We have multiple different generations in our church, and we here at Noble Assembly believe that every generation can use their talents to serve the Lord. And Kira is just leading worship with all of her heart. Appreciate Zach and just everyone. Elliot's over here; he's rocking out the drums, they're just growing in the Lord, growing in their talents, and Don and Kelvin just using their talents too. So anyway, I just appreciate them. I have a couple announcements for you really quick before I bring you the word. Number one is this. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday, which is the 29th at 9 a.m. right here in our main building here. There's going to be a women's Bible study being led by Cherry Smith's going to raise her hand. Cherry's raising her hand, and Tara Farley's over there. You can see either one of them for information. I'm just going to publicly apologize. The reason it's not in the bulletin is because we did the bulletins several weeks in advance because of the staff scheduling. And so by the time we just couldn't get it in there, but we wanted to make sure that you knew that that was happening. And so it's actually this Saturday, isn't it? Okay. Let me say that again. See, the calendar's getting away from me. This Saturday, 9 a.m., Bible study here. All ladies are welcome, and we'd love for you to come and be a part of that. Thank you so much for those of you who bought ribs. If you bought ribs and you did not pick them up, we still have them. But if I think we've got most everybody picked up, and we have some extra ribs. Extra, I'm getting some good reports back on the on our ribs. And so here's the deal: since we have some extra, and we want to make sure they. First of all, we raise as much money for our missions team, but second of all, we don't want them to go to waste. Our youth will be out in the foyer selling the extra ribs for $20, $20 a slab, and you can take some ribs home, and we would really appreciate you buying the rest of them. I think I have probably close to 10 racks of ribs and so left, and so, like I said, we'd love for you to get some of those, enjoy them, and help our missions team, and so the youth will be right out in the foyer afterwards, and you can purchase those, okay? Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, just so you get prepared, you can turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, and we'll be there in just a minute. But before we do that, how many of you know what a child's favorite question is? What's a child's favorite question? It's one word. What is it? Why? Why? Some of you ladies are going, that's my husband's favorite question too. Yeah. Why do we have to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many of you ladies would say that your husbands are actually higher maintenance than your children? Okay, there you go. Babe, don't raise your hand. That's offensive. All right, all right, all right. Yeah, I mean, a child's favorite question is why? Why do I have to eat vegetables? Why do I have a bedtime? Why do I have to do homework? Why do I have to even go to school? I'm feeling a little bit of a temperature today, Mom. Yeah. Why do I have to clean my room? You know what it's going to look like tomorrow anyway, right? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? And as a parent, here's what we've all decided. I think every parent in this room will agree with this next statement. Some of you are going to feel this in the spirit of your, like, to your core. Are you ready? As a parent, life would be a whole lot easier with less questions and more cooperation. Can I hear it today? Amen, amen. Teenagers, you hear this. We need less questions and more cooperation. The real question, the real answer to every why question our kids ask is really simple. Because I said so. Right? That covers, as a parent, I feel like that covers every why question. Why do I have to eat vegetables? Because I said so. Why do I have a bedtime? Because I said so. And because you don't want me to go to prison for murder. At some point, you have to go to sleep, all right? Why do I have homework? Because I said so. And because I want you to make money and support me, all right? So there's other addendums to that, but basically, mostly, it's just I said so. And if we're honest with ourselves, though, we as adults have a lot of why questions, too, don't we? We have a lot of why questions when it comes to serving God. We ask God this question a lot. I think he is probably more patient with us than we are with our children. And I think we have a lot of why questions even more so when it comes to reaching people. Reaching people. I think reaching people and ministering and serving people has actually gotten harder. How many of you would agree with that today? I think it's gotten harder. I think it's gotten harder, and this isn't even in my notes, but I think it's gotten harder because it's harder to develop relationships with people because people are less trusting. I think it's harder because we live in an era where people stay in their houses more. You know, I laugh all the time. We live on this circle drive, you know, that's just one big circle. It's pretty self-contained, and yet I can go a whole winter season without really talking to any neighbor because they open their garage door, they pull in, they close their garage door. You know what I mean? And so it's harder and harder to develop relationship and reach people. And so we have a lot of why questions. And although there's a lot of reasons behind the why of evangelism and outreach, it really comes down to one thing. The reason why we reach out to people, the reason why we share the gospel, the reason why we minister to people is because he said so. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said to tell people about him. He told us that we are the light of the world. Amen? And so the answer to our why questions is because he told us. We're going to continue. Pastor was so excited when I told him that I wasn't going to take a detour from his remarkable series, but I was actually going to continue the series. I did not know, Pastor, if you're watching, this was going to make you so happy. I would have been more focused to do this more often if I knew how joyful you'd be. He was so tickled. I was like, Pastor, do you mind? I thought, you know, maybe he already had. I'm going to tell on you, Pastor. I said, Pastor, well, I thought maybe you already had like maybe a message on these next few verses. And he said, you think way too much of me. So that's what he told me. So sorry, Pastor, to out you on that. But today we're going to focus our attention on Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43. We're going to finish out the fifth chapter of Mark. And we're going to look at three principles. Everybody say three principles. three principles that we can, that Jesus demonstrated in this passage that I think we ought to learn, we ought to absorb, and then we ought to duplicate when it comes to ministering to others. And so Mark chapter 5 starts out, verse 21 says, "Then when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.'" And verse 24 says, "So Jesus went with him." So Jesus went with him. Principle number one, when we're trying to minister to others, when we're trying to reach others, is this. It's pretty simple. Serve now. Serve now. When God opens an opportunity to serve or to minister to someone, we need to learn not to drag our feet or to hesitate or come up with a reason why we got to wait or ask a why question or do anything else. Instead, when God opens an opportunity to serve or to minister, we need to serve now. Be present in the moment. Be present in the moment. I can't tell you how many times in over the years where in hindsight, I looked back and I thought to myself, I missed a moment. Just this week, I was running and I was running around my neighborhood and an opportunity that I had that I just missed came to my mind and it was with a fellow minister that I felt like, man, maybe I should have done that and ministered to him, and I just missed the moment. And I'll probably see him. We're having pastor meetings the next couple of days. I'll probably see him. And I got to be honest with you. Every time I see him, I think, man, I missed the moment. I missed the moment where I think the Lord wanted me to do something, and I just didn't get it done. The scripture says that Jesus, previous to this verse, had just performed the miracle of delivering the demon-possessed man. Everybody remembers the sermon from last week. He'd just come from doing that, and as you can imagine, he had drawn a crowd. As you can imagine, this had created probably quite the spectacle, quite the interest from people in the community. This man who had been demon-possessed, people knew that he had been demon-possessed. They knew that he had acted crazy and strange, and all of a sudden, demons came out of him and the pigs and boop, over the... And so here we know that he's drawn a crowd. So the Bible says that he crosses the lake by boat to continue teaching. He's seizing the moment. He's seizing the moment. And as he begins to teach in front of what the scripture says in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, I believe it. Verse 20, it says, what is described a large crowd, Jairus falls at his feet and tells Jesus that his daughter is dying and pleads with him to come and pray for her. How many of you have ever been busy doing something? Something that was important. Something that maybe, and all of a sudden somebody rushes in. Somebody calls. Somebody beeps in on the phone. Somebody interrupts what you're doing with a need. With a, hey, can you come help me? Hey, and maybe they just want to talk. Maybe they just need a listening ear. But it's not at the most convenient time. Have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever sent Pastor Phil a voicemail? Mm-hmm. Right now it's time to confess. Okay. Maybe you sent them a voicemail or whatever. Maybe you said, hey, I'll get back to you. And you're well-intentioned, meant to, but maybe you missed the opportunity. But it's interesting because here is Jesus. And I'm just going to put it this way. I feel like he's really on a roll here. I mean, the demon-possessed man has been delivered. He has crossed the river, across the lake by boat. He's surrounded by what is called a large crowd. I think this is intentional. Like, they didn't just say, hey, he's teaching people. I think that it must have been a good number of people, because that's why the author wrote a large crowd. They made an emphasis of that. And yet, here is Jairus, and he says, my daughter is dying. And what is Jesus' response? And we find it. Can you put back up verse 24? It says this. So Jesus went with him. So Jesus went with him. In this scripture, you see no hesitation. There's no, hey, right after I get done teaching this lesson, right after I get done doing a couple more miracles. No, I think that Jesus was in tune with the Father. His spirit knew that this was the moment. He seized the moment and he went. How many times have we asked God to use us? God, use me to minister to people. Use me to tell people about Jesus. And then turned and asked him, why now? How many times have we been guilty of saying, God, I'm available, and yet been restrictive of the schedule in which we're available for him to use us? I mean, but I just finished this for you, Lord. Lord, I just did this for you. I'm busy doing this for you, Lord. Just give me a moment and I'll get to that, Lord. We must position our vision to not only see the need, but to meet the need. That we see the need and then we meet the need. I think there's two big obstacles that we faced. First is this, that we would see the need. We get busy in life. I know I get busy in life. I pray all the time, Lord, help me not to be so busy that I miss the needs around me. We get busy with our own things. We get busy with life. And before we know it, we miss a need that was right in front of us. It should have been obvious. And so the first obstacle we face as Christians when it comes to ministering to others is just seeing the needs around us. But I think, secondly, it's meeting the need. I think sometimes we struggle to meet the need even when we see it. God's timing is as perfect as God's plan. Let me say it again. God's timing is as perfect as God's plan because they're one in the same. God doesn't just come up with a plan and go, well, we'll figure out how we're going to make that happen. God's timing is perfect as he has the plan in our lives. If you're taking notes today, if you've ever written anything else down, I challenge you. What does Pastor call this? He says this is a two-star. What does he do? Whatever. I put two stars by this in my notes. I didn't, but this is what he does. So if Pastor was doing this, he would put two stars. All right? Are you ready? Here we go. I think we're more guilty of passing on God-giving opportunities than we are of missing them. Let me say it again. I think as Christians, we're more guilty of passing on things. God, I'll pass on that one. Than we are actually of missing them. We act as if we missed it, but really, we saw it. We just passed on it. God, somebody else can do that one. God, I'm already too busy. Lord, you know what I've got to do this week. Lord, you know what we're facing. Lord, you know how I've been feeling. Lord, you've seen. Lord, you know my checkbook better than I do. In verse 24, it says, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 30 says, and at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? I love 31. It's such a passive-aggressive, smart-aleck response by the disciples. You see the people crowded against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? When I read this verse, you know what I think of? Every year, Kelly and I go to the OU Texas football game, and I'm convinced they're cramming more and more people into that stands, and yet that thing hasn't grown by one inch since we started going. And you, if you want to get a hot dog or a Coke during that game, then you have to understand that the price is not only $64 or whatever they charge at the concession stand. The price is also that you are going to be pretty closely intimate with at least 200 to 300 strangers on the way to the concession stand. And so I can only imagine he's being crushed in. People are gathering around him. It says they pressed around him. And the disciples, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answer, and yet you ask, who touched me? Verse 32 says, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Principle number two is this. Not only do we need to serve now, but we need to take less. We need to take less. I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that. Let me explain to you the verse that bothers me the most in this passage, and it's verse 26. Verse 26, if you put that up again, it says this. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she had spent all she had. And yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. How many of you have ever really let that sink in? The scripture says that the woman with the issue of blood, listen, she was in desperation mode. She'd spent everything she had. She had nothing left to give. She had no money. She had tried everything. She had given it all to the doctors. And yet the scripture says that instead of getting better, she actually grew worse. So now, not only is she not healed, not only is have they not figured out how to stop the bleeding, but here's the thing, is she was now broke too. Her doctors had failed her and had left her broken and broke. I think about the church as a whole and our church here. If we're honest with ourselves, the church is full of broken people. Full of broken people. Some broken by the circumstances of life, things that maybe they could control or they couldn't control. Things they're enduring right now, they're suffering through, maybe in marriage or maybe it's their children. It could be a myriad of things. Some people are broken by the consequences of the past. Maybe there are things and choices they made in the past, and although they've come to the Lord, the consequences of those things still are being faced. The Lord is gracious, but sometimes people are not. The church is full of broken people who maybe are broken by the poor decisions of the present. Maybe they're working on their sanctification. They're in the church and they're working towards, they hear what Pastor I or whoever's speaking say and they believe it, but they're still working through the decisions they're currently making. And the Lord, and I believe the Holy Spirit, we pray that the Holy Spirit is guiding and convicting and helping them. Amen. Let me just, if this is a myth that you've ever thought in your mind, let me just break this myth. The church is not for complete and whole and perfect people. The church is not a country club where we just pick the, you know, these are the elite of the community and we've got it all together. You know what a country club does? I'm going to get off. This isn't even my notes. Just getting bonus material today. All right? All right, it's my soapbox. So a country club accommodates only for the people who are in the building. For the comfort and just the lifting up and edification of those people. And although we love the people inside of our church, the church should be much more a hospital than it should be a country club. The church is a place of healing. The church is a place, listen, even in the hospital, listen to me, even in the hospital, how many of you have seen the video? Even in the hospital, they got the bell that they ring, right? Why? Because they've been healed, right? They got the bell. How much more should we as the church, knowing that our God heals much greater than any doctor or any medicine ever could, how much more should we be celebrating the victory and healing happening in people's lives? But the truth is we need to make sure that we understand that the church is full of broken people in different phases in their walks in life. But the great thing is this, is there's no expectation of entrance. Only the hope that lives here that what you came as won't be what you leave as, because you will be better for meeting Jesus here than you were when you came in. That's my deep desire for you. And unfortunately, Unfortunately, not only broken, and this is what I want to get to, not only broken by the circumstances of life, people in churches aren't just broken by the consequences of the past or poor decisions of the present, but oftentimes people in the church world, they come into a church, they're also broken by the rules and the expectations of those called to help bring healing. Here's what I love about this. Verse 33 says, "And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth." I think she was healed the moment she touched Jesus, but I think she was made whole. And I'm going to talk about not just, I think her physical healing happened when she touched the hem, the cloak. But I think her complete healing happened when she told, listen to this, the whole truth to Jesus. Some of us want to hold back part of the story as if Jesus doesn't know our story already. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us knowing our sinful nature and our sinful story. You ain't tricking him anyway. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Why was she afraid? It says that she fell at his feet trembling with fear. You know why she was afraid? She was afraid of rejection. Jesus knew that she was unclean. Everybody knew that she was unclean. You know why? Because she had been unclean for 12 years. This was not a secret. This was not a secret. People knew. It's hard to keep secrets when you hang around with people, right? But here's what happened. Is Jesus healed her when she touched physically, when she touched the cloak, but he healed her emotionally when he called her daughter. He wasn't worried about her being clean. He wasn't stopped praying for people, by the way. The Bible says he was on the move. He was on the move. Where was he going? Jairus' house, right? He was going to pray for this daughter. Remember, I told you he's serving now, and yet even the moment of being in the now, this lady touches him, and she didn't ask to touch him, but he didn't care. He hadn't seen her. He hadn't talked to her. He hadn't been introduced to her. They didn't even have much of a relationship necessarily, but it didn't matter. He called her daughter. I was studying this, and I felt like, in my spirit, I felt like it was probably the first time in years somebody, I can't prove this, but I believe in my spirit, it was the first time in years that somebody called her by an intimate name. Called her by a name that would be endearing and loving. Called her by a name that would insinuate or illustrate care and love. He said, he didn't just say, "Ma'am, you're healed." He didn't say, "Woman, you're healed." He said, "Daughter." Why did he do that? Because he wanted to complete her healing. She had been healed physically already, but by calling her daughter, he broke the fear of rejection and he healed her emotionally. We've got to get to the point where our ministry and our serving stops coming with conditions and rules. We've got to get to the point where we don't care if people are unclean. We don't care if they ask for permission. We don't care if we know them or we don't know them. We don't care if we have a relationship with them already or not. We don't care if they've done their customary four services here before they, you know. None of that matters. It doesn't matter if they're unclean. We know the healer. We couldn't clean ourselves up. Why do we think we can clean others? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus is the only person in this place that can clean someone up today. But we can lead them to Jesus. It doesn't matter if they interrupt the program, because like she did as he was moving toward Jairus' house, as he's moving there, she interrupted the program. He wasn't stopped praying for people. He was on his way, but he stopped. Because in that moment, She became the main focus. It doesn't matter if they have no money. We serve a God who takes the broke and makes it whole. For the sake of the gospel, we must be willing to take less so that people can receive more. Can I get an amen? Amen. Verse 35 says this: while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. And he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when it came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. I just want you to let that sink in for just a minute. This is why Jesus is Jesus and not me, because if they laughed at me, I'd be like, okay. Don't judge. Some of y'all would too. All right. Verse 40. But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. And they went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Principle number 3 is this: we serve now, we take less, and we pray more. Our only hope is prayer, my friends. Our only hope is that the Lord would intervene in all situations. While Jesus was still speaking, so people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? And overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. Check this out. The scripture says that while Jesus was still speaking, he was still speaking to the woman with the issue of blood. He's still ministering to her, his daughter. And here comes these people. Can I tell you something? In the midst of victory, in this case, the healing of the woman, in the midst of victory and some of the mountaintop experiences of your walk with the Lord, in the midst of victory, the enemy will try to bring defeat. While Jesus was still speaking a miracle, here comes naysayers. Here comes someone to bring doubt into what the Lord had called him, the Father had asked him to do. It says, why bother the teacher anymore? Basically, what they're saying is this: it's too late. It's too late. Maybe if he hadn't stopped to heal this woman, maybe if he hadn't stopped to talk to her, maybe, but it's, don't bother him anymore. We're picking out caskets over here. We're gonna pick out the 5 favorite songs. We'll figure it all out. Don't worry. Hey, thanks, Jesus. It's too late. The problem is that we as humans, we love to determine how the plan of God is supposed to work, right? We just do it in our own thinking, right? It's, well, look, she's dead. That's it. If you got here quicker, maybe it'll work out. But it just, well, it's too late. They already made the decision. We're not going to keep the house. Oh, it's too late. He's already moved out. She's already moved out. Her marriage is over. Oh, it's too late. Thanks anyway, Jesus. I love what Jesus says. It says, overhearing what they said, I want you to catch this. Jesus told him, told who? Told him. Talking about Jairus, all right? He's not talking to these naysayers, all right? You're going to see in a minute, he don't have much time for them. Watch. He says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Because immediately he knew what would rise up. How many of you know the Lord knows what rises up in our heart? The Lord speaks to our heart. And he knew that this father's fear would rise up because they've come to say that his daughter is dead. It's too late. He said, don't be afraid. I don't give you the spirit of fear. That comes from the enemy. Just believe. And it really is that simple. Sometimes our role is like Jairus. Our role is this in the whole situation. Believe. Believe. Jesus knew that with prayer, all things are possible. Do you believe that today? With prayer, all things are possible. Jairus' family was dealing in the natural, but Jesus operates in the supernatural. He said, she's not dead, she's asleep. As far as I'm concerned, she's asleep. Even the friends and family mocked Jesus by laughing at him in disbelief. And in verse 40, it says this. Verse 40, here's what it says. This was his response. And after he put them all out, I love this. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. Who'd he put out? He put out all the people who were laughing, all the people who were wailing, all the people who were freaking out. He put all them out. You know why he put them, after he put them all out, you know why? He was removing the disbelief from the situation. If you're not going to be a believer, I need you outside. Listen to me very carefully. He wanted himself surrounded by believers. He surrounded himself with the mother and the father who obviously Jairus must have taken the command when he said, don't be afraid, but believe. He must have seen the belief still in Jairus. Okay, Lord, I'm believing in you. You need to understand something. Jesus operates amongst believers. Where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is also. He doesn't need us to do song and dance. He doesn't need us to be the most impressive. The Bible says that man looks upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. God needs belief. And so he said, he put them all out. He said, y'all got to go. All the believers come on in here. And then the scripture says, he said, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, get up. And he ask you this question. But did he even pray? Because this is what this whole point's about, is praying more. Did he even pray? Where was the prayer? Wait, he goes in the room. Hold on. Goes in. And it says, after he put them out, he took the child's father, it's in verse 40, and the mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was, and he took her by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. Wait, did he pray? Listen to me. Did he pray? You need to understand something. Jesus walked in the Spirit with the Father. He was in tune with the Father. That's how he knew when he was preaching to the crowd. He said, when Jairus came, he said, I'm going. That's why when he was on his way and people were crowding around him, he knew somebody had touched him, and he took a moment, even as he was going, to stop for a minute to accept less from someone who had nothing so that they could receive healing. You need to understand something, is that he was praying all the way to the house. Here's why Jesus had no doubt that she was asleep and not dead. Because the Spirit of the Lord had already told, the Father had already, he already knew. He was walking. He already knew. Here's the thing is, God will call you to do things. He will call you to minister. He'll call you to share the gospel. And the enemy's going to come along. It's too late. Hey, don't bother Jesus anymore. Cut the prayers. Take it off the prayer chain. But if you'll stay in tune with the Lord, if you will pray without ceasing, if you will stay in a spirit of prayer, God will answer the accusation of the enemy as you walk. We need to embrace the need longer. Listen to me very carefully. When we're praying for needs, we need to embrace the need longer. Well, I'm sorry. We need to embrace the need long before we embrace the hand. Long before Jesus ever touched her hand, he had already embraced the need. He began that long before he ever got to the house. Long before we ever sat by someone's bedside and pray for him, we should have already embraced the need in the days and weeks up to that point. Long before we ever take a casserole over because they're sick, or long before we ever get, you know, sit down with them and pray through with them, long before we counsel with them in the midst of their struggling marriage, long before that, we should have already embraced the need through prayer. We need to learn how to speak to the need like Jesus did in this account. Why have we stopped speaking to needs around us with authority? Jesus gives us the authority to speak. If you don't walk away with anything else, remember this. We all need to pray more. Let me tell you what prayer does. Prayer empowers us with authority. Prayer encourages us with affirmation. You're doing good. You're on the right path. You're doing exactly what I want you to do. Yeah, I know that some obstacles have come up. I know they're resistant to what you're saying. I know they're not responding the way you want them to respond. I know that they're not getting the right test results. I know that marriage isn't coming together. Like, I know that financial need hasn't been met. But when we pray, the Spirit enables the Spirit to speak affirmation to us. So it empowers us with authority, encourages us with affirmation, and it enlightens us with the truth. Because the devil is a liar. But Jesus gives us truth. I'm going to ask the worship team to come as I share with you this last illustration. I wonder how many times, would you just focus with me for this last little bit? I think this really spoke to me. The Lord gave this to me, and I really think it'll speak to you. I wonder how many times the woman with the issue of blood felt like giving up. You ever felt like giving up? I wonder how many times. I wonder if it was when people mocked her. Maybe for her lack of faith. Maybe for her uncleanliness. Whatever it may be. I wonder it was when people began to ostracize her. There's got to be something wrong with her that she can't get healed. There's got to be something wrong that's happening to her. I wonder if she wanted to give up when she just ran out of strength. I mean, the continual loss of blood, this condition had to be exhausting. Had to be exhausting. I wonder if she felt like giving up when she just ran out of money. Because as long as she had money, she could still pay a doctor. Maybe the next doctor would get the solution. Maybe the next doctor would offer a remedy. Maybe the next doctor would give her relief. But at some point, she ran out of money. Scripture says she gave all she had. How many times did she give up? Maybe when the doctors just ran out of ideas and said, I don't know. When she got worse instead of better. How many times do you think she wondered if she was all alone in being broken? Have you ever been that way before? Think, is anybody else experiencing what I'm experiencing? How come my life is so hard compared to others? I wonder if she had wondered if God had just forgotten her. 12 years she waited. 12 years. That is such a long time. So many nights and days to question if God even knew her name. If God even remembered her. And yet what I love about this passage of scripture is, little did she know that a baby would be born at the same time that she would be afflicted. Stay with me. Little did she know that that child would grow up, have parents, and those parents would love this child until one day, not 12 years of sickness, but in just a short period of time, she would grow ill to the point where this girl's father would search out Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And on one fateful day, recorded in Mark chapter 5, a woman with a 12-year history of bleeding would be healed by Jesus as he's on the way to speak life into a how old? 12-year-old little girl. And I saw this story and I read these two together, and what I want to say to you today is this, is you're not alone. You're not alone. That our stories are woven together. And Jairus never knew. He may never even have known the lady with the issue of blood. And she may have never known his child. But what Jesus knew 12 years before this day was that on a faithful day, 12 years in the future, I'm going to heal both of them. We're in this together. We're going to heal. Some of you, maybe you've been dealing with sickness for a long time. Maybe you've been dealing with a situation a long time. Maybe it's not been 12 years, but maybe it's been a year. Maybe it's been two. Maybe it's been 10. Maybe some of you have been praying for years for a lost loved one or a lost child. Maybe some of you have been in a marriage that's just barely staying together. Maybe you're financially, you've just been barely keeping your head above water. And others, maybe you're just, your need's just around the corner. But we all serve the same God who's faithful to meet all of our needs. I tell you this, our job is not to design the plan or the timing. Our role is to serve now, to take less, and to pray more. And how do we do that? We do it by making sure that our cup is full, making sure that we're prepared and ready when God calls upon us. The story of the woman with the issue of blood said that she just touched him and that his presence overflowed and met her need. And so I close with this last question. When people come in contact with you, maybe it's in the workplace, maybe it's in your home, maybe it's at a family reunion or a family gathering, maybe it's here at church sitting on the same row or in the same section. When people come in contact with you, what do they encounter? Do they encounter worry? Do they encounter fear? Do they encounter judgment? Heaven forbid, but do they encounter indifference? Or do they encounter freedom? For the scripture says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for the stories in Mark chapter 5, but they're more than stories. They're actual accounts. Jesus, as you walk this earth and you change lives. Lord, we want to be a part of your plan. Lord, we want to be a willing vessel. That God, when you call us to do something, we serve and we do it now without hesitation. Lord, we want to be an open book. Just as you were kind to the woman with the issue of blood, so too may we be kind to those around us in our church and in our community. Those, Lord, who have nothing left to give. They have nothing. May we take less. May we take less so they may receive more. More of you, Jesus. And when all is said and done, Lord, if we can't think of anything else to do, we've run out of ideas, we've run out of strength, we've run out of wisdom, Lord, may we pray more. For Lord, you'll give us the affirmation. You'll give us the strength. You'll give us the wisdom. You'll speak truth into our lives. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed today, is there anybody in this place today, you say, you know what, Pastor Phil, I hear you talking about having a relationship with the Lord. I'm not even there yet, and I want a relationship with the Savior, the one you've described. Maybe you, the one you've heard before is a judgmental one. Maybe one you've heard before is a God who seems indifferent. Yet I'm telling you today, God's never loved you more than he loves you right this second. And today is the day of salvation. And so if you want to give your heart to the Lord, if you want to begin to experience freedom, you want to begin to experience healing, you want Lord, to begin to take control of those things that are out of control. And as I said earlier, speak to the storm in your life. If you want to give your heart to Jesus today, would you simply raise your hand and say, that's me today. I want to give my heart to the Lord. Today is the day for a life change. Today is the day for things to be different. I'm not going to stumble through this life anymore. I want to do it with Jesus because it's the only way. Just taking a second longer. Pray the Holy Spirit would just begin to touch hearts. If you speak into your heart, don't wait another moment. We're not promised tomorrow. That's not a fear tactic. That's just reality and the truth. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to give your heart to the Lord, would you just simply raise your hand? We desperately desire that you would know Him. Now, believers, would you just look up at me? Everybody, look up at me. Here's what I want. I want to challenge you to do the things that we talked about today. I want you to begin to serve more. Begin to look for ways to serve those around you. Begin to look for ways that God has for you. Each of us have unique gifts. Each of us. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass her today, but just on the top of my head right now, let me just say, Glenna Balmer the Lord has placed upon her heart, I'm not going to look at her, to reach those who are the forgotten. Those who maybe can't come into this place, who can't meet with us on a regular basis, but they're a part of our family. And so I empower you, Glenna, to continue to write those cards and to visit those people, to go see Ansel at the Grace Living Center and to visit Debbie Rowland in her home. I empower you. If the Lord tells you to do something, may none of us on staff ever be the person who stands in your way. I never, Pastor Stephen, I never want to be the one that stands in the way of you doing what God has called you to do. If the Lord calls you to do a women's Bible study and to pour in to the other ladies in the church, then go for it. If the Lord calls you to intercede, then go for it. If the Lord begins to call you, Lord, we want to empower you to do that. Don't hesitate. Take less. I challenge you is take less. Let's leave the rules and the expectations to the Lord. Let's bring them in and let God intervene and clean them up. Oh, but for the grace of God, there go I, there go you. Oh, we could so easily be on the outside. Gosh, we could be so easily on the outside of this building, having not known the truth. May pride never rest in our hearts that we think we've done something that earned it or made us better to have received the truth than someone else. We're just so fortunate. All of us can look back and point to others who led us to this place. Mindset right back there. And may we pray more. May we pray more. May we pray more. We can't pray enough. The devil, the Bible, Pastor Steve said, told us last week, the scripture says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he comes to give life and give it more abundantly. Prayer clings us to his will. It reveals to us the cross. And it affirms us in what we're doing. You know the reason we're not lost anymore? It's because through prayer, we always know where we're at because God directs us and He directs our steps. I love what Pastor says. He says, this, every funeral I've seen him do, he says, we didn't lose this loved one. You only lose something if you don't know where it's at. He says, I know where that loved one's at. They're in heaven. Would you stand with me today? We're right 2 minutes till noon. I did it. Spirit fingers. All right. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? We're going old fashioned today. We're breaking the stigma of COVID. All right, here we go. If you don't want to hold a hand, you don't have to. Sometimes Kelly won't hold my hand, so. And would you agree with me as I pray over you again? Would you agree and pray for those that are next to you? Lord, I pray right now that you would help us to serve now, to never hesitate, but to act in faith and affirmation that you've called us for such a time as this. Lord, I pray, God, right now that you would help us to pray more and to take less. We don't need expectations and rules, God. We just need, Lord, for you to touch them. We just need them to reach out and touch you. Because if they could come in contact with you, everything changes. Well, give us strength, give us boldness, give us faith, and give us passion and vision to reach the lost around us. May this week be the greatest week of ministry that the church family of Noble Assembly of God has ever had. And we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. Go with Jesus and take some ribs with you while you go. Amen.